Catherine Field in France for you in a couple of moments on this. Well, we've got Israel and Iran, of course, but we've got the Paris Olympics occupying them as well. Meantime, back to these migration numbers or immigration numbers, and they're still arriving by the truckload. My word, they're also leaving by the truckload, and the bulk of them that are leaving are New Zealanders. The Stats New Zealand figures for the year to February show the annual gain of 130,900. Of the 122,000 odd departures, almost 75,000 of those were us, New Zealanders. So Massey University sociologist Paul Spoonley is back with us. Paul, morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
From your point of view, from a sociological point of view, I guess, if you have a tremendous number of Chinese, Filipinos and Indians coming into the country, which we do, and a lot of New Zealanders, so-called New Zealanders, leaving the country, does that materially change the cultural makeup of a country?
It certainly does. And I'm a baby boomer, Mike, so for my generation it has very little effect because they're not older people, they're young people coming. But when you look at our school system, so where we are in Auckland at the moment, if you looked at any high decile school, you would see the face, the future face of New Zealand. So typically between 35 and 45% of those kids are now Asian. So they will be the fastest growing group in the community over the next two decades. So if we had this conversation in 10 years or 20 years' time, we would be looking at a very different New Zealand.
Is this good or we don't know?
No, I think it's good. I think it's part of us becoming part of the world and being open. And I mean, we can go from the, you know, I mean, hasn't the food improved for a start? But it's just that we are now connected to the world, and particularly Asia, in ways that we never were. We were always connected with Britain. So I'm the son of British migrants, but this new generation, this new New Zealand, will be quite different in terms of its cultural identity, its languages, its food, its sports, and all those sorts of things.
Will it be New Zealand, or will it be mainly Auckland?
No, it is mainly Auckland. Between 50 and 60% of those migrants that you talked about before actually end up in Auckland. Yeah. So a previous government provided 30 points for people going to other places than Auckland. It was Michael Woodhouse. However, and I made the point to the minister at the time, what you needed to do was say you've got to be there for, let's say, 5 years to meet the conditions of your visa. But we don't do that. And so, yes, people get 30 points for going somewhere else, but they then end up in Auckland.
Away from the sociological thing, just the numerical side of it and skills and stuff, do we have details that of all the people who come in versus all the people who go, the right people have come in because we can't stop the people going? So are we getting the right skills, and does that help? Are we materially better?
No, I would talk about it as brain exchange. So you're absolutely right. The numbers of New Zealanders leaving is really high. I mean, a net loss of 47,000. So for every New Zealander that comes back to the country as a migrant, three leave. And they're our best and brightest. Not always. What we often do is when we get a spike in unemployment, we export our unemployed to Australia. Not deliberately, but, you know, that's what happens. Now, the people that are coming in, a big chunk of them come in as skilled, experienced, well-qualified migrants, actually better qualified than New Zealanders. But as the minister has made clear recently, there's also a big chunk that are unskilled and semi-skilled. So I would tend to characterise it in the main as brain exchange.
Always good to talk to you, Paul. Appreciate it very much. Professor Paul Spoonley, Massey University sociologist with us.
For more from the Mike Hosking Breakfast, listen live to News Talk ZB from 6 a.m. weekdays, or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.